It's time for another edition of Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, sponsored by the Clearfield County District Attorney. And this morning on Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, we have the awesome opportunity to talk with Leo Haggerty. Leo is with the Pennsylvania DUI Association. Good morning, Leo.
Morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us today. Leo, to get things started, would you please introduce yourself, who you are, and then talk to us a little bit about what is the mission of the PA DUI Association and your role within it?
Okay, sure. Like you said, my name is Leo Haggerty. I am the executive director for the Pennsylvania DUI Association. The Pennsylvania DUI Association is a nonprofit highway safety organization working to address the DUI problem in all of its many stages, from prevention to enforcement, up to and including adjudication and rehabilitation through the court system. We provide awareness training and support of other programs with the sole purpose of working toward the elimination of impaired driving and the harm that it can cause. And through our efforts, we like to think that we create a healthier, safer environment for all people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Leo, could you tell us specifically, how does the association work with law enforcement, the treatment providers, and the legal system?
Okay. This is a multi-pronged question. So we have, our association has several grants and contracts with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. One of them is our law enforcement services grant, or the management of statewide impaired driving enforcement grant through PennDOT. Under this grant, there are approximately 50 DUI task forces throughout the state that receive funds from PennDOT for impaired driving enforcement, whether it be in the form of checkpoint operations or roving DUI patrols. We assist PennDOT in the management of those funds under this grant. Also, we provide a full array of impaired driving enforcement training to law enforcement in the area of standardized field sobriety testing, checkpoint roving operations, best practices, A-RIDE, which is Advanced Roadside Impaired Driving Enforcement. We also facilitate the Drug Evaluation and Classification Program, commonly known as the DRE program. And we provide training on Pennsylvania's medical marijuana program and how it relates to driving. And also the something new we started last year, the Law Enforcement Phlebotomy Program, where police officers are being trained to draw blood from DUI offenders so they don't have to go to the hospital and do it.
We appreciate that information. We've been talking with some of our local law enforcement officers about trends in DUI cases across Pennsylvania and across our area. What, Leo, do you see as the current trends in DUI cases, especially related to drug-related and alcohol-related DUIs?
Okay. Well, I think before we get into the trends, I think we need to talk about the other work that we do related to your prior answer, if that's okay with you.
A couple more points
on that. We provide guidance on case law, changes in the law, as well as investigative assistance on impaired driving investigations. We also provide education and awareness to health providers, addiction treatment professionals, and educational professionals. And our staff under our law enforcement services is comprised of retired and current law enforcement officers who have dedicated their law enforcement careers to impaired driving enforcement, and they have well over 300 years of combined law enforcement service. Another area where we focus on is Pennsylvania law requires counties or groups of counties, depending on the geographical location, to establish alcohol highway safety schools for DUI offenders. We act as through a contract with PennDOT, we act as the agent for PennDOT to facilitate that. And with the contract, with this tech services contract, we assist county DUI coordinators who are appointed by the president and judge in the facilitation of this alcohol highway safety school for DUI offenders and also CRIN evaluations that take place. We do this by providing instructor certifications for both of these classes. We also provide technical assistance and oversight of the county DUI programs for PennDOT, ensuring that they are run and managed properly as DUI offenders progress through the court system. And our master trainers in this under this contract have decades of experience in dealing with DUI offenders post-arrest through the court system. And just for your listeners, Alcohol Highway Safety School, it's a 12.5-hour class that all DUI offenders have to go through. It's a process they have to go through for to get their driver's license restored. And it talks about the dangers of drugs and alcohol and everything like that. And a CRIN evaluation is a pre-screening evaluation procedure for all DUI offenders that assists the court system in determining what level of treatment, if any, the DUI offender needs. And one more thing we have before we get into the trends is we also manage Pennsylvania's ignition analog through a contract with PennDOT. Through this contract, we provide a variety of services that include ensuring the vendors and installation shops follow Pennsylvania rules and regulations through periodic inspections, review of data logs, and refresher trainings. We also provide training for law enforcement in the area of ignition interlocks, and we are tasked with maintaining various statistics of Pennsylvania's ignition interlock program, which I'll get into later with one of your other questions. But currently in Pennsylvania, there are seven approved vendors for ignition interlock, and there are close to 500 installation shops, so it's a pretty monumental task. So that's pretty much all I have as far as that. If you want to move into DUI trends, if you want to ask that question again, I can get into that.
Oh, yeah, sure, Leo, and thank you for filling in the gaps there on that information. That's a wealth of information and a wealth of services provided by the PA DUI Association. The question regarding trends, we've talked a lot here on Connect FM about some of those trends of drug-related DUIs versus alcohol-related DUIs. There has been quite a shift there. Could you give us your insight into what the current trends you're seeing?
Yeah, the trends actually change depending on the geographical location of Pennsylvania. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is a pretty big state with a very diverse geographical layout. So depending on the area of the state, the drug seen in DUI arrests can vary slightly. Alcohol is always a constant, but the use of marijuana and other drugs appears to be increasing among younger generations and the population as a whole. There's a perception among younger people that using certain drugs is considered safer than alcohol. And that's due to societal norms and social engineering and the internet. You know, I often joke with my kids that the internet is the downfall of mankind, because you literally have information around the world at your fingertips with access to the internet. And you know, with all of the high profile celebrities and everybody using experimental drugs, whether it be micro LSD dosing or hallucinogenic drug use and stuff like that, there's a perception among the younger population that, well, maybe the use of drugs, either recreationally or medically, might be a little safer than alcohol. And that's not really the case. Mm-hmm. Some common drugs seen in DUI cases other than alcohol are obviously marijuana, which I think you have a question about that later, opioids, which are your heroin, fentanyl, your prescription pain medications. Then you have your central nervous system stimulants, which is, your illegal drugs such as cocaine and methamphetamine. And there's also certain prescription central nervous system stimulants used to treat ADD, ADHD, and then also certain diet medications that are stimulant-based are also considered central nervous system stimulants. We also have central nervous system depressants. The largest central nervous system depressant is alcohol. That's considered a CNS depressant. But within that category of depressants, we also have all of your medications designed to treat anxiety, depression, various psychiatric disorders. Also in that depressant category is your muscle relaxers and sleep aids. The central nervous system depressants is the largest category where we find prescription medication. And these include all of these different drug categories include legal, illegal, over-the-counter, and prescription medications. Interestingly enough, there's also been an increase in the use of hallucinogenic-type drugs, psilocybin or mushrooms, and also microdosing of LSD. And like I previously touched on, this is due to societal norms, the increased use of it on whether it be internet trends or the use of it by celebrities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's the use of psilocybin or mushrooms and these other hallucinogenic drugs are following a similar legalization path that marijuana has followed across the country.
Right. Now, of course, here in Pennsylvania, we have dealt with recently over the past 10 years or so, the opioid epidemic and marijuana legalization for medical use and potential legalization for recreational use. How have those two things, Leo, changed the DUI landscape in Pennsylvania?
Yes, it absolutely has. Drugs have changed the the DUI landscape, or what I like to call the DUI offender profile, dramatically in Pennsylvania. And I can get into some statistics a little later. There's still a very strong opioid epidemic, ranging from prescription pills such as Oxy, hydrocodone, Tramadol, Dilaudid, Vicodin, the usual prescription medications. And then you also have the illegal opioid market, which is your heroin and your fentanyl and the black market analogs with respect to heroin and fentanyl and everything like that. The use of xylazine and some of the other animal tranquilizers that have now permeated the black drug market. The black market drug trade, and also the use of medical marijuana. As you know, medical marijuana has been around in Pennsylvania for, I want to say, 8 years now. The use of medical marijuana should really be viewed in the same manner as any other type of medication. Users should be aware of how it affects their ability to safely operate a vehicle. There's a saying that you may see it on advertisements over holidays and stuff like that. NHTSA has a saying, if you feel different, you drive different. And that really is a very telling statement. And, you know, you can talk about whether it be illegal drugs, legal drugs, over-the-counter drugs, or prescription drugs. If it affects the way you feel, there's a very good possibility that it affects the way you drive. And people should be aware of that. And marijuana is no different. The problem we have with marijuana is it does process in throughout the body very differently than other substances, making it extremely difficult to set per se limits or even set dosing limits, instructions, or standards. Everyone is different, but if you use it in a medical setting or even in a recreational setting, everybody should be aware of their dangers of it. You know, we talk about per se limits, alcohol. Everybody knows the per se limit for alcohol is 0.08 BAC. If your blood or breath alcohol concentration is above a 0.08 in Pennsylvania, you're presumed to be impaired and incapable of safely driving a car. Drugs are a little different because drugs affect the body differently. So it really comes down to the impairment that the officer sees and also how the person feels.
On today's Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law on Connect FM, we're talking with Leo Haggerty. He's from the Pennsylvania DUI Association. Leo, let's move on and talk about some legal and policy issues. What are the biggest legal challenges that face DUI enforcement today?
Yep. If I could just have one more point on that previous question.
Sure.
Unfortunately, with the advent of drug use in Pennsylvania, we have seen an increase in a number of impaired driving arrests where marijuana and other drugs involved. Just last week, the 2024 arrest statistics were released, and approximately 37% of the DUI arrests in Pennsylvania involved a drug other than alcohol. That number was only 20% back in 2014. So over the 10-year span, the number of drug-impaired drivers has increased from 20% to 37%. So that's an indication how we talked about how the DUI landscape has really changed.
Wow, yeah, driving. For sure. So as we move along, what are the biggest legal challenges now that face DUI enforcement?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest legal challenges facing DUI enforcement today in the Commonwealth is it's the sheer caseload that district attorneys' offices are handling on an annual basis. There's approximately 40,000 people a year arrested for DUI, and a lot of times, depending on the county DUI arrests may account for anywhere between 25 to 35% of their total caseload. So a lot of times, and through no fault of the court system or anybody else, our court system works very slowly, and they're constantly trying to find out a way to a court system to get people through the court system and get their lives back on track in a faster and more efficient manner. And a lot of times they shuttle DUI arrests through the court system, and a lot of times it really minimizes the seriousness of the offense. Another issue with legal challenges is accurate toxicology testing. As we talked about, the DUI offender profile is changing. Alcohol is easy. Alcohol has been studied for decades and decades. We have voluminous amounts of information on alcohol and how it affects the human body and everything like that. But as far as drugs are concerned, we're now just really starting to scratch the surface. What levels of a certain drug causes impairment? It really is tough to nail down. And also, as far as the toxicology testing, there are literally hundreds of substances out there that can impair a person. So if you, you know, if a police officer is involved in an investigation and they draw blood and send it to the lab, they really have to have an idea of what type of drug they're looking for the lab to test for, because there are literally hundreds of drugs the lab could test for. And if you start testing for all hundreds of those drugs, the testing, the cost of that toxicology testing can be fairly significant. And ultimately, that cost of that toxicology testing falls upon the court system, and the court system does their best to transfer that cost onto the offender, but that doesn't always happen. Another legal challenge is the arresting officer being able to accurately describe impairment to a judge or jury, how it relates to drug impairment. You know, all the training out there is available for alcohol impairment, what a drunk looks like, but what does a drug impaired subject look like? A lot of times, police officers have difficulty convincing a judge and jury what a drug impaired subject looks like. And also the mentality of it's just a DUI. Sometimes, you know, whether it be the general public or even certain people within the court system, they just kind of look at a DUI offense as kind of like a minor or lesser offense, and that's not really the case. And one final challenge today is staffing. Police staffing is always an issue. Departments across Pennsylvania and the country are short-staffed and constantly asked to do more with less. They have less police on the road, they have an increase in call volume, and that often results in a decrease in proactive enforcement. So a lot of times, DUI arrests, if there's not proactive enforcement taking place, obviously if someone crashes and they are impaired, that's too late. The police are already in a reactive mode there. So with the lack of staffing and increase in call volume, there's unfortunately the proactive enforcement to take place usually declines.
Leo, are there any upcoming legislative changes, things being worked on that are related to impaired driving, things that might be in the works that you think the public should know about?
Currently, no. There's some legislators working on improving our ignition interlock laws, making them more streamlined, making it easier or a less complicated process for a DUI offender to obtain an ignition interlock license. But I'm not sure how close that is to becoming law. There are prior changes that took effect a couple years ago where the grading of offenses, depending on the number of DUI offenses you have and the penalties for repeat offenders have gotten a lot stricter and a lot tougher than they were in the past. The legislators realized that, you know, if you have a 3, 4, 5-time DUI offender, have they learned their lesson, and maybe part of that lesson they need to learn is some significant time in jail behind bars. And so some changes took place last year with the sentencing and penalties for repeat offenders that the public should be aware of. It's just, you know, driving impaired is just not worth it anymore.
Right. Leo, we're down to about our final 5 minutes, so I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. I really want to touch on the education and prevention programs that are offered through the PA DUI Association. So could you tell us here in the next couple of minutes, what are some of those prevention programs that the PA DUI Association offers, especially focused towards youth or repeat offenders?
Right. Okay. A lot of the education and prevention programs are done more on a local level, whether it be through the county court system and the individual school districts, through student assistance programs and various student-run organizations and school-based organizations. And we provide any professional and technical assistance to any school or county that wants our assistance. If they want us to come in and talk to students about the dangers of drugs and alcohol, we'd be more than willing to do that. But those types of education or prevention are more done on a local level, because it really is not, the education really isn't a one-size-fits-all. A lot of school districts and a lot of counties, they like to take their own individual ecosystems, per se, and tailor their education and awareness efforts to their particular population.
Leo, are there any misconceptions out there in the general public about DUI that you would like to correct?
Yeah, the minimization of it. The fact that a lot of people look at when someone's arrested for DUI, they say, oh, well, it's just a DUI. That could not be further from the truth. There were, in 2024, 342 people were killed in Pennsylvania by impaired drivers, with thousands of others injured, approximately 8,000 people injured as a result of impaired drivers. So you have over 342 people killed and approximately 8,000 people injured as a result of impaired driving. It's not just a DUI. It's a serious offense, and I think the public needs to understand that. In some areas, some sets of the population, being arrested for DUI is almost becomes like a badge of honor among them, and we really need to change that perception.
Absolutely. Leo, in these final couple of minutes that we have, would you share some advice for our listeners? First of all, what should someone do if they or a loved one of theirs is facing a DUI charge?
Obviously, we can't provide legal advice, but everybody should know, whether it's the person themselves who was arrested for DUI or a loved one, friend, or family member, it's a process to get your life back, and they need to follow it. The court system is designed to hold people accountable for their actions, but it also is designed to be rehabilitative and restorative in nature. But in order for it to be rehabilitative and restorative, the person who is facing the consequences of a DUI arrest has to follow the process. And for a loved one, they should support them. They will need it, and they shouldn't minimize the offense. Discuss it with them openly. And as a result of the DUI arrest, if nobody was killed or injured, everybody should be thankful for that. And everybody involved in the process should discuss the seriousness of it and what could have potentially happened. You know, if someone is arrested for DUI before they crash or injure or kill somebody, it shouldn't be minimized. The potential serious consequences of it is what we should focus on. And also, as far as the loved one and the person facing the DUI or the people involved in their support group, I think there needs to be respect for the police and the court system out there. They have a job to do. And I think everybody involved in the process on the loved one side, they need to understand that person is in a situation because of a choice they made. It's nobody else's fault except their own. If their support system recognizes this, it might help that individual understand that it truly is nobody's fault except that person that they are in the situation that they are in.
Leo Haggerty from the Pennsylvania DUI Association has been with us today on addiction, mental health, and the law. Leo, thank you so much for your time and for sharing a wealth of information with us. I trust that it's been very helpful for our listeners this morning.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. This has been Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law on Connect FM, sponsored by the Clearfield County District Attorney.